Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you. I am your host, your groove mistress, and, well, let's see, I wouldn't say spiritual guy because I've got somebody here to help you with spirituality tonight, so I'm not going to infringe on the professionals. However, let's just say I am your, cruise director? Yeah, I think that's good enough. And I am here to bring you information, entertainment, bring you all the good things and good people I can find, and I have been very blessed in that area. However, let me just say, I was talking to someone, by the way, let me say once again, thank you so much to everyone who has followed, whether you subscribe to podcasts on particular platforms like Apple, Stitcher, Podbean, Last FM, whatever. Thank you so much, and for following and sharing, because every time you do, it helps a podcast grow, and it helps me to continue bringing the fantastic people like I've had lately, like I've got coming up, and definitely like the person I've got here tonight. So that's thank you for the messages and reviews that you leave either on Facebook or Apple iTunes or Stitcher about what you like about the show. That's the kind of stuff that helps me to continue to get great guests, and I really do appreciate that so much, as do they. Now, I was starting to tell tonight's guest before the countdown started, that you know, I had taken a little sabbatical from the news for a while, and I told my husband, I said, just let me know if anything really crucial happens that I need to know, like if I have to pack up and run or something like that. And tonight we were walking the dogs. I said, you know what I was thinking is that I think right now with everything that's happened, I think if somebody were to say, just see in their yard, you know, no matter where they were, if a couple of people who were saw maybe a not too big of one, but maybe a small brontosaurus or something like that, or a pterodactyl flying overhead. You know, I feel like people would just sit back, look at it, and then think about it, and then get on Facebook. Anybody else see a pterodactyl flying over your house today, or is it just me? And I think it would be just like that. There would be no panic, because we've had the murder hornets and the sturgeon paddlefish. And all these things, and that's just part of it. That, I think that's what we would do. We would just go, anybody else? Is it just me? You know, I don't know. But anyway, so I want to say, and a lot of people heard me talk about this show. Oh, somebody was on here and just called somebody from the 216 area code. Don't hang up. You hung up, but please come back because we want you to, we welcome your input and questions. Anyway, tonight my guest is a woman with a magnificent heritage, and she's born into a family with a legacy of highly gifted healers. And this is the fascinating part, from Native American Iroquois tribe and the Nigerian Nuri kingdom. And I'll have to check with Milton Davis on the pronunciation. She's guest herself. Anyway, she's the nationally award-winning author of Soul Wounds and Sacred Revelations: A Warrior's Daughter's Awakening to Pain and Destiny. In this book is where she examines DNA surrounding emotional pain and provides a blueprint for uncovering the lessons that are sent into our lives for the purpose of healing, evolution, mastering pain. I like this. So before I rattle on, I want to bring soul medium Deneen Joyner into Madame Perry Salon. Welcome, Deneen.
Thank you for having me, Madame Perry. You have no idea. I've been just waiting to be on your show since we spoke some months ago.
Oh, I am delighted. This has been a great part of my day. It's just kept me going through some, it's kept me going more than you can imagine. So, so how you feeling? How you doing?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good. And I had to actually hold on to my laughter when you were talking about the pterodactyl in the yard and and people probably just looking at it and then kind of wondering, did I see what I see? And it jumping on Facebook and then moving back on with their life. I'm like, yeah, I think this year has pretty much numbed everybody to just about everything. Would you say that?
Yeah. We don't get shocked as much anymore. You know, in fact, I think this has a lot to do with the sustainability, maybe, of the human spirit, is that, you know, people...
Yes.
We'll find a way to work through it, make a joke. What was it, when murder hornets were the big thing for about a minute? People were saying, well, you know, Florida, they were saying, hey, look, you know, our blood is, what is it, Mountain Dew and meth. So any critter that's going to try to suck our blood, mosquito, whatever, good luck.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the human spirit. That's the American. Let's just keep on rolling, make a joke about it, you know, and just keep ourselves moving forward.
Yeah.
And by the way, congratulations on being a national award-winning author. I think that's
Thank you. Very exciting. It is. Thank you so much. What an honor. I mean, you know, it took me a while. I always say, when people say, how long did it take you to write your book? And I say, my entire life. you know, and I'm 56, so that's a long time. That's a long time in the making. But it truly has been my entire life to really, you know, download everything, to actually bring all of the elements that, you know, they chronicle my life and this memoir of mine. But, you know, but, and I know we'll be talking more about my ancestors and the role they played in this book, but, you know, it's just been really beautiful to be honored in such a way, to be a first-time author and also a national acclaimed author at that.
Now, Denise, I've got to say, because of your, like you said, your background, Native American and Nigerian, your ancestors were, as we read about, highly gifted teachers, chiefs, seers, prophets, shamans, medicine women, which makes it kind of, I don't know how to say this to you, this is a little bit uncomfortable for me. To read all that and to know about you and read your work, I kind of find it hard to believe that you would start off the show fibbing to me about your age. I can see your pictures. You are not that old.
I really am.
So you're like, okay, maybe 32 at the most. You know, that's just really stretching it out there. So,
well, I appreciate
whatever
that.
You're
and
doing,
I
want
to say, I know, right? Well, I have to say, it has to do with the age of my soul. And that's why I want, you know, your listeners to know that, you know, chronological age, really, at the end of the day, it doesn't have much to do with much. Our soul age is really telling. And my soul age is 20. So, you know, sometimes I still go out, well, when the world was open, when I would go out actually and have a glass of wine, you know, sometimes I would get carded. And at first I would get, you know, kind of irritated, because it's like at the long end of a day, you know, you want a nice cold glass of wine and you really don't have time to be going back and forth with the waiter or waitresses who, you know, who's barely 21 themselves to be carding you. So, you know, yeah, but it's funny, and I take the compliment well now, so thank you so much.
Yeah,
for...
we all had that problem, Denise. Yeah, you don't get a lot of sympathy over here. I think you're a fabulous woman, but you're not going to get a lot of sympathy on that. Sorry. But tell me about soul age, if you don't mind. I mean, this is that's something new for me.
Yes. So the soul age is what I'm speaking of is primarily your main guide, the person who has been spiritually assigned to your spirit and your soul in this lifetime. And so there have been many evolutions of your spirit and soul. It has taken on new forms with, you know, depending on, you know, you've heard people talk about deja vu, that deja vu, and I don't know if you've experienced deja vu. I'm assuming that you have. Mostly, you know, mm-hmm. people, when I speak of deja vu, they can say, oh, for sure, yes. I've had those moments where it feels so familiar. It's happened before. But yet, I don't know really when it happened, but it feels like it has. And so it's those experiences that I'm speaking of when I say, you know, your soul age, your soul has been here before. It speaks to that. It's you know, something that's not tangible, but you can only feel. And I know of my soul age just because of the level of healing work that I have done and the gifts that I have that allow me to actually connect to the spirit realm and to allow me to receive messages from my ancestors and from spirit guides and angels and Holy Spirit.
When let's talk about your book, Soul Wounds and Sacred Revelations, A Warrior Daughter's Awakening to Pain and Destiny. And I have to say the whole title again because this is very important about what we're going to talk about tonight. First thing is, what inspired this book? It's a spiritual memoir. So I take it that's very personal.
Yes, it is. What inspired me to write the book was my arrival at my healing, and I would say the first leg of my healing journey, which felt like me that it was completed, but I later learned that it was just actually moving to the next leg of it, which was for me to continue to master my life in a new way. What inspired me to write the memoir was that the moment that I came to the first leg of my journey, I was actually deeply, deeply connected in a way that I hadn't before to spirit realm and to Holy Spirit and to my ancestors. And it was in that moment, the morning of October 8th, 2014, when I was given my holy assignment. And so for your listeners, the holy assignment is the real reason we are here. It's not the reason that you think you're here, but it's the true reason that you are here. And that won't be revealed to you until you are open to the journey that unfolds for you as far as being a spirit living out in your earthly being essence. So you won't really know exactly what that is until divine actually reveals that to you. And so mine was revealed to me that morning, and it was very apparent. So much so that I realized that everything that I had been through, all of the pain, all of the challenges, all of the hardships, and I had really endured some really, really ugly things surrounding rape, date rape, you know, being raped actually by a family friend repeatedly for months, neglect, abandonment from my father. So I had some really traumatic things occur throughout my life. And it was in that moment when I realized that they weren't in vain. It made it so clear to me why I had always been able to feel the energy within other people relating to emotional pain and trauma, and why I had devoted 18 years of my life to social work to help other people who were, you know, in the throes of their life and obstacles. And so I wrote the book because I had been giving what I call, similar to a job description, if you will, it had given me actually all of the elements of this holy assignment, being that I was here as a spirit guide to help people here on earth to guide through their emotional pain and to recognize it as more than what they think that it is. And to really just to be able to use all of my experiences, both here in the earthly realm and in spirit realm, including my beautiful gifts, to help them to heal and to be delivered to their holy assignment. And so when that came to me, I realized that I had a big task at hand, and that since I had navigated over 47 years of my own trauma and pain and carried it, you know, for so long, that now that I knew what that looked like and how to do it, that I needed to be able to do and offer that same understanding and guidance to other people. And so that's why I wrote the book.
Wow. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, I know you're only skimming the top, just hitting at a very high level, skimming the top of the different types of pain you've gone through. And these are things that could be painful physically and emotionally and spiritually and all. And sometimes it you know, it's understandably hard for some people to ever get past, and some things we never do. And yet it seems like there's the lesson to be able to help other people. It's like, my girlfriend and I were talking about some things, and I said, you know, somebody got got upset that I wasn't scared by a certain Halloween trick that terrified everybody at the gym. And I said, honey, I don't want to hurt your feelings by not being scared. It's a good one. But once you've had a shotgun against the back of your head, in your home, the bar is set pretty high. So you're going to have to work a little harder. So there's your challenge right there, Will. Go ahead and work a little harder. You know, and I wasn't trying to get sympathy from him, you know, because it happened a long time ago. But that's what I'm just saying. You know, my girlfriend said, yeah, what are you going to tell him? You know, is that all you got? I said, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to challenge people.
Right.
I don't want to ask for trouble. But yeah, all these things. And then especially with things going on with you, with your family, friends, people you know, that's hard. And that's harsh. Just one more thing on a woman.
Yes.
And then on top of that, a woman who is Native American, a woman who is Black. I don't want to be making assumptions, but I'm just saying, I would think that would just kind of pile it on.
Yes, we do. We do. We hold on to it. We carry it. And I believe, you know, from just my own level of experience and again, from my background professionally, you know, none of us were ever taught how to respond to emotional pain. And so because of that lack of education, we hold on to it because that's what we saw. Most of us saw our parents grin and bear it. You know, you never really saw them emote. You know, you never really had been really given a pass to, when you were in pain, to really fully talk about it, express it, do whatever you felt that you needed to get it out. There was never really that pass. And so because of that, because nobody talks about it, and because it's so uncomfortable to do that, to really just bare your soul and be transparent, then nobody does it. And so when that happens, you just continue to carry it and carry it. But what I know about the soul is that, you know, the soul is a recorder. And although it does have a lot of space to carry, you know, all of your pain and all of your trauma, pain and trauma takes up the most room within our soul. And so, you know, there's only, you know, so much room. And especially if you've had a lot of different experiences relating to pain and trauma, then really it's just a matter of time before you hit rock bottom, unless you awaken and realize that you have experienced a lot of pain and trauma and you're willing and open to doing something about it.
What do you think is the main thing that most people misunderstand about emotional pain?
The one thing that I know for sure is that people, well, I would say actually two things, to be perfectly honest. The one thing that I see that's really consistent is that people are afraid to explore it because they feel like that the trauma that is associated with it, that experience, that really, really deep, you know, profound, you know, just paralyzing feeling that you have experienced when it occurred the first time, people think that it's going to actually do that again. And so they avoid it at all costs. But what I tell my clients, you know, and people when I go out and speak in public is that that is humanly impossible for that to happen again. There is no way that the same trauma and or pain could have the same impact that it did when it first occurred. And so you have already survived it. You've already survived the worst of it. And so being able to go back and, as my ancestors speak, honor it, because pain is an energy. And as I just said, that it will take up residence within your soul until you honor it. And honoring it means acknowledging it to yourself and being able to actually unpack those feelings so that you can begin the clearing process. So I would say that is the first thing that people get wrong, is that they feel like it's going to be traumatic again, is equally as traumatic. And I think the other thing is that people think that if they ignore it and continue to carry it, you know, and just wear the mask, that it will somehow disappear. And that is further from the truth.
By the way, this is a good time to say, if you're listening live tonight, and this is July 22nd, 2020, it was the live show. If you have a question for Denene Joyner, I'm sure she'll be happy to talk with you. And you can call up here at 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. Or for people who can't make a phone call, maybe you're at work or something, don't have a phone, you can always, always text me on Facebook, either through Jennifer Maudette Perry or Madame Perry Salon. Just go ahead and send me a DM with your question or comment for Denene, and I'll be happy to share it with her. What I understand is, I know you've talked about in your book, it's important about having self-awareness when we're trying to heal through emotional pain, but and yet also an awareness of the role of family and ancestors. Could you explain that to us?
Yes, sure. For me, I'll use myself as an example, because I always tell people, goodness knows I have enough examples, for sure. Right. So, you know, your question is a great one. And it's something that I really didn't uncover until I started my healing journey. And I started to really look into my life with an objective lens, instead of a biased one. So I want your listeners to know, if they want to start their healing journey and they want it to be different, that they have to use objectivity in order to get things going. So what I mean by that is, what would you tell a friend of yours or a family member that's had the same life experience that you have? And they came to you with whatever it is that they've been carrying, what would you offer them? And when I pose this question to people, it's always easier for them to respond. If I said, tell me what you would tell yourself, there's always a long pause. And that's because we're so close to it.
So
if you can remove yourself from the equation, you're still using your life as the blueprint, but just remove yourself from it and actually, you know, insert what you would tell a friend. It's so much easier that way. You can see things that you normally would not see. You actually would be able to give yourself more credit and compassion with the life that you have led up until now. And so when I started to do that, I started to see that the things that I had been saying about myself were unkind and untrue. I could recall saying, you know, on several different occasions, thinking that I was, you know, weak on some levels, emotionally weak, you know, that I wasn't worthy of certain things, that I was never going to have, you know, a loving relationship, you know, that I just was not going to be as successful as I anticipated. All of the things that sometimes people will say to themselves. What I realized when I was looking back at the DNA in my family, you know, and I thought that there was some feelings about just not being proud of who we were, and that really had to do with my own personal beliefs. that I wasn't proud of who I was. It had nothing to do with my ancestors. But once I started to really look into where I came from and who my ancestors were, I saw that that was not true. It wasn't true that they weren't proud of who they were. It was actually the contrary. They were proud people. They were proud of their gifts. They didn't hide from who they were. And so, you know, when you have that knowledge and understanding, you know, that deep knowing of who you are, I was blessed enough to have a storyteller in my family who's my mother, who basically, you know, instilled in me and my sisters, you know, my maternal ancestors' gifts. And she's a Native American force in my family. And so I knew, you know, a lot of my history and culture, but it really didn't resonate really with me until, again, I started to become curious about who I was and how I came to be and how it was that I responded to pain the way that I did. Once I was able to actually follow that thread, I could see that there was a lot of different things that had occurred in my family that was still duplicating itself in real time, such as the abandonment that I talked about, you know, the abandonment piece, the father wound, if you will, that I experienced was something that was a thread that went back generations. It also happened on my mother's side. So not only did I have it on my father's side, but I also had it on my mother's side. And these things were, you know, basically brought to light through conversations that I would have, you know, with my mother. But then later also what happened was, again, because of my gifts, I was able to actually channel and actually have these deeper conversations with my ancestors who basically just solidified a lot of different things that I wouldn't have not known on my own.
Ah, okay. All right. So that, yeah, it's you talking about your mother being a storyteller and being a powerful
yes.
force. I think sometimes it is the women who are the spiritual force in a family and who keep the stories.
Yes.
Force.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. I was just sort of lost in thought listening for a moment. There's a term you use in your book, and that is spiritual inheritance. Can you tell us what you mean by it, why it's so important?
Spiritual inheritance is something so rich and so beautiful, and we all have it. It comes in the forms of our pain that has been passed down. It comes through the gifts that we have inherited, that most of us are aware of, but have, you know, have kind of turned a blind eye to it because we focus more on the pain. We also, you know, have the lineage. We all have, you know, a lineage and a rich legacy. And I always, you know, tell people that it's really, really good if you can get a DNA test. The DNA test will really speak to where you come from. So even if you don't have someone like I had, my mother, who was the historian, you know, you can start with the DNA test, which will tell you your bloodline, and you can start your own research, not only of the, you know, the DNA related to you, but you can just look in general at these cultures and find out who these people are, how they live. You would be so surprised what you find, just the subtle nuances that you do that are related to, you know, to this culture of people. And so it's really interesting if you can become really, really just curious about who you are and just be open to the possibility that some of the things that you've mistaken, you know, as blemishes, if you will, you know, are truly just a part of who you are. And if you look at them differently, you'll get something different out of them.
Okay, that's a very powerful thing, too. If, you know, I'm going to stop just a moment here to just to play a spot, an ad for somebody. So it'll be about 1 minute. And I'll be right back with Soul Medium, Storyteller, and Spiritual Coach, Deneen Joyner. Be right back with you, Deneen.
The next game changer in the men's fashion industry might just be around the corner with the upcoming launch of Mace in Style, a new international gentleman's fashion boutique store that will offer comfortable and fashionable designer-crafted clothing, accessories, jewelry, watches, as well as health and lifestyle essentials for men, crafted by talented fashion artisans from various corners of the world. Mace in Style offers clothing and accessories for men of different shapes and sizes, from streetwear enthusiasts to hip-hop street artist, the corporate powerhouse, the prepster, the jock, the rock star, the adventurer, to the all-American throwback, and many others in between. Mates in Style is inspired by the latest trends in fashion, which will help any generation achieve their desired style and look. Visit the pre-launch site now at prelaunch.matesinstyle.com to be a part of this inspiring fashion innovation. prelaunch.matesinstyle.com.
You know, my book, Trailer to Dark Side of Netherlands, I'm really talking for the first time about my kidnapping. I mean, many people think it's funny that I'm saying Michael Jackson is my father, but they are not realizing how much I've been traumatized because of that, how much I suffered because of that. You know, people have been murdered on the night I was kidnapped. I mean, the media laugh about it, but you know, I still remember as an 8-year-old child that people are being killed in front of me in many ways, but I also remember walking in the blood. So that my book called Thriller Betrayal, A Thriller to Dark Side of the Netherlands, not because I like the name Thriller, because a real thriller have been happening to me and I'm happy I survived it still.
All right, we're back here, still in the genie bottle. That is Madame Perry Salon with my guest, who I am so excited to talk to again, Deneen Joyner. I'm just so glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So much to talk about, and we're learning so much from you. And remember, the title of her book, Soul Wounds and Sacred Revelations, A Warrior Daughter's Awakening to Pain and Destiny. And in the book, Deneen delves into the role our ancestors and family play in allowing us to know ourselves, including how our divine assignments are intrinsically tied to yet unfulfilled soul contacts that can span several lifetimes. Now, I think this too, you know, because you talk about you examined you were mentioning DNA earlier and talked about spiritual inheritance. And I think I get the feeling that what you're teaching us too is that sometimes there's a lot going on. And it's not something we're going to learn like in one little one night retreat This is work that we have to do on ourselves and with ourselves. And with our stories, and I guess with our ancestors. So enlighten us, Deneen. I mean, I know you can't do it all right now because we need to get your book. And also, this is another time. Let me say this. Also, if you're listening, and some people listen when they're in their car or running, so they know they don't have to write this down, but I will be sharing on all of my social media, Deneen Joyner's website at Earl, as well as where to buy her book. And anything else you need to know, I'll be sharing on all of my social media from Madame Perry Salon as well as Jennifer Perry. So, talk about, if you would.
I would say, you know, the blueprint, of course, of my journey and how I discovered, you know, a lot of what you're talking about is in the book, but the shortcut to everything is through my soul readings that I offer people one-on-one. And so the soul reading is where I partner with the person's soul. I don't ask them any questions at all. So if anybody's ever had a psychic reading, it's not like a psychic reading at all. It is, I would say, a psychic reading, probably times 20. I don't even, I really don't even connect to you until we actually go and I deliver the soul reading to you. I ask for your parents' name, your mother's mate name, and then for three days I actually connect to your soul. So when you say soul medium, that's where my soul mediumship comes through. I actually am a medium to the soul, meaning that I speak the language of the soul. I am able to channel messages from soul to soul. So it literally is a spiritual download when I connect to a person's soul to do a soul reading. And that soul reading entails me basically connecting to all of the painful energy, all of the painful places a soul has traveled within this lifetime, and sometimes other lifetimes. And so I'm able to pull that information in, and I'm also able to express a person's soul wounds, their family karma, their soul's lessons, and then also their gifts. Usually their gifts come through as well. And then the most beautiful aspect of a soul reading is when I'm actually able to connect to their main guide, which generally is an ancestor who has passed on and who shows up, because I invite them when I do a soul reading. I invite all divine energies who are willing and able to step forth on this person's behalf. And so the main guide actually is a part of the process and will speak to me because they know that I can hear them. I don't see them. I can only hear and feel their energy. So when they come through, when I speak to the person and deliver their soul reading, I'm able to describe their energy. And so usually the person knows who I'm speaking of based on, my description and based on a lot of the information that has come through to enlighten them about their healing journey. And so it really makes for a really powerful connection to really just take the guesswork out of what you need to be mindful of, what your triggers are when it comes to your soul, and the things that you need to do to be able to move forward with your healing. I know, right?
I'm sure you know, because you we talked a couple months ago, and I know you checked out my show and my guests, as I was learning about you too. And I've heard a lot of people, and I've heard a lot of stuff, a lot of information, a lot of revelations from people. But this is something fresh, and and it's ringing very true to me. As I listen to it.
It is something, I appreciate you saying that, and I have to say, just to piggyback off of what you're saying, when you said it was fresh, my spirit just left, because it took me some time because we're talking about 500 years here of healing, a healing legacy that dates back 500 years, if not even more, with my ancestors. And so, as I said, I can hear them, and they know this, and so they don't speak the way that we do. Sometimes it's broken, and they try to use, because they know I don't really always get it the first time, they often use analogies and give me pictures of things in my mind so that I can understand what they're trying to translate. And so it has taken me some time to adapt to that style of communication with them. So much so that it just took me a while. Once my healing journey ended and the new leg started, was when they really wanted to bolster me and get me to understand my gifts, to get me to, to be able to express it, to people so that they do understand it. And so when you said to me that it was fresh, it really just made me just really proud that I'm doing them justice, because you know, I want people to be able to understand, you know, the brevity of this. It really is a new way to look at pain, to experience it, and to, you know, to really just take on your life in a new way, to become a student of your life is what they have told me since day one of my own healing. They wanted me to become a student of my life. And so that's the message that, you know, that I really empower other people to do when I connect with them to help them with their life and their healing.
And I am sure that it makes a long lasting impression as well as helping. And thank you for understanding, you know, and when I said fresh, you know, this is just, how do you say it? This is just the way it's hitting me right now. This is not one of our prepared talking points or questions or answers or anything, or use this word or that word. This is just the way it feels to me. So I'm glad that that worked for you too. I think it was talking about. I know. I'm just so grateful that you were here with me tonight, that you have been so generous with your time, with your gifts, and with the lessons that you've learned from your own pain. So I know I don't have you much longer, but let me ask you this, if I could. I've heard you say that you respect emotional pain, and would you tell us why?
Yes, because truly the pain that we really need to be focused on is that is sent from divine. And that pain was sent in our life to prepare us for our holy assignment. And so if you think about just the things that I mentioned about my life, the pain that I, you know, experienced throughout my life, then you can start to see a little bit of, you know, of that. That wasn't of my own doing, but there are things that we create, you know, that we have experienced that we duplicate. And so because we are so more focused on, you know, the wrong pain, then we kind of lose sight of the divine pain. And so, you know, people don't understand when I say that divine sends us pain, you know, but it's true. There are things that we have to endure, that we have to experience, that are pain, that are painful, that are traumatic. But if we're open to the lesson, and if we're open to remembering that we were sent here as spiritual beings for a reason, for a greater reason, not the human reason, because we lost sight of the spiritual part of us once we arrived here and we got consumed with being more human than spiritual, we forget that. And we become so distracted and busy with our lives as humans. And so, you know, the pain starts to increase again because we're losing sight of why we're here. And so it is until, you know, divine has our full attention. And unfortunately, usually that is something that is, you know, incredibly painful, you know, and traumatic. It could be, you know, a car accident, you know, it could be, you know, a threatening life illness, or whatever that may be. Unfortunately, it usually takes something very traumatic in order to gain our attention and to really get our attention to say, you know, I need to take inventory of my life and this is not the way that I should be living and things of that nature. You know, if we were able to respond, you know, as I said before, we knew the ways to respond to pain, you know, which is really just to face it head on, to express it when it happens, to look for the lesson, and just to surrender, then we would be a little bit further along than we are. But because we don't have that knowing, we don't have that memory, you know, we don't remember the promise that we made before we came here, then, you know, we become, you know, more consumed with just living as humans.
I know somebody was trying to call in and drop off, so yes, I can. I've got just a few minutes now. Yes, okay. And, you know, Deneen, we are here in the genie bottle. As I told you, we would be here. And if you don't mind, and I hope you're comfortable here, because I want you to come back. But if you don't mind, Deneen, could you reach over to your right? And wait, there you go again. Okay, come back, Vince. I think I'll call him. He was here, and then he's gone again. So I know this is one of my regular people that calls us, and he's just I have very, very interesting listeners. Let's see, let me get his. See if I can try to bring that number back. Okay, here he is. You can just open the beaded curtain to your right, and welcome in here into the genie bottle, Mr. Vince Levy Bryant. Vince, we're here talking to soul medium Deneen Joyner. And he just dropped again. Okay, let me just see.
Oh my goodness, third time's a charm.
I know.
You'll definitely have to have me back for sure. I would really like to talk to your listeners.
Listen, yes. Well, you said you were having trouble with this line earlier, too. So,
yes.
I could reach out. Let's see. Okay. Okay. Try now. To get it.
That's
hey,
funny.
Don't call us. We'll call you. Okay. Yeah,
that's
just
right.
Cut off, just like you did earlier.
Hello.
Vance.
Hello.
Vince?
I keep getting cut off.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you. Can you hear me? Vince, can you hear
me? Yeah, I've never been cut off that many times. I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay, well, it's not personal.
I can hear you. Hello.
Hi, okay.
I know. Oh, I know it's not. It's...
All right. Well, Vince,
we're breaking up, too. This is a time, and you got somebody on your show I really want to talk to.
Well, go ahead and say something.
Hi, Vince. This is Deneen. How are you?
Hi, Deneen. How you doing? I'm awesome, honey. I'm a Gullah Geechee man. I'm into my ancestors. I'm clairvoyant, and I'm also an empath, and I need some guidance this very second.
Okay. What's up? What's going on?
Oh, gosh. I just got a huge offer, and they want me to fly to L.A. for Saturday night. I'm trying to make them do a Zoom thing. I'm an original composer for music for film, and this is a very big director that hit me up, very big. I'm not even going to mention his name. This all happened in the past 24 hours and in the past hour and a half, and he's talking about me booking a flight. I mean, I've got session stuff between now and Friday, but... You know, I'm just having these heebie-jeebies, and that's not like me. And when I get that, it causes me to pause and think. You know, I don't have any reason to have any fear or doubt, but I just have this, you know, this urgency on their end. It's like giving me this alert, you know. So that's it. I threw it out there.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting that you would say that. You know, you're kind of feeling... You know, and I'm wondering if you might just take some time to, you know, really just meditate on it a little bit more and make sure that you're separating, you know, fact from fiction, if you will. You know, if you're feeling something, you know, look into it, you know, because I always tell people to trust their instincts and intuition, you know, so maybe there is, you know, something deeper going on. You know, with it, maybe it is, you know, maybe you do need to just take some time. It doesn't necessarily have to happen overnight. I'm like you, you know, I don't like to act upon things where I have some reservations. I give everything 3 days.
Right.
So what's today? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's kind of, you know, cutting it short. And
72
yeah,
hours.
And I would,
that's right.
Yeah. I would be wondering, you know, again, what is the urgency? You know, ask those deeper questions. You know, I know, you know, they're putting a lot of pressure on you and wanting you to, you know, to fly there and you know, to be there, you know, immediately. But I would want to know, you know, what's the sense of urgency? You know, or is there some room for you to just consider things a little more, maybe for you to do more research, so that you feel comfortable?
I asked him for a Zoom. I asked him for a Zoom, and he said he would check into it. And a Saturday night, that doesn't sound like, I mean, I know the industry, but that doesn't sound like, I mean, I expected, okay, maybe a weekday and give you some time, and maybe you talk to our agency that we're hooked up with, and do you have an agent? I didn't get all of that, and I'm used to this industry. I mean, I'm 61 years old now. I know I don't look it, but
so
I am.
Yeah.
And
so
I'm
I
do know. But it just came, I said, oh, Janine, she can see. And you know what? It's like I wouldn't operate on my own liver. You know what I mean? I wouldn't let a liver doctor, even if I was the greatest liver doctor in the world. So I'm like, I said, oh, she could see it. She could see. Okay, yeah, just real point blank. Okay, good. Okay. So that's it. And I've never been cut off.
Yeah, I would give it some time for sure.
Hello?
I don't think this is – are you there?
We can hear you. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that you should rush into. I think that, you know, your reservation about this is real. And I think given your experience, your level of, you know, experience, all of these things are, you know, factors that you need to, you know, really just lean into. And I would say that, you know, for sure, if it is meant to be, you know, if you, you know, if this opportunity is real and it is the one that is truly for you, that, you know, they'll be flexible. And if not, then more will be revealed. And I think that you will know, you know, because I'm kind of feeling like you. Feeling like there's more to the story, you know. And unfortunately, there's so many different scams right now. And, you know, people are just going after things, you know, and people, you know, in just different ways.
You are awesome. You are so awesome. That's right. You are so awesome. And the 3 days, I got it, because Saturday would be 3 days. And I practice the Shabbat anyway. So Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, I'd be not trying to fly anywhere anyway. So we're good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Would you like to know, I this call was interrupted 3 times. I've never asked Madam Perry. I've never been cut off.
Never.
Yes, I did. I've never been cut off before, ever. Yes. Yes, I did.
Get your answer.
Yeah, it's happened tonight to a couple of people.
Thank you.
A couple of numbers pop up and go away.
You're welcome.
So we'll talk later. Thank you, Vince.
Okay. Thank you, Janine. Thank you, Janine Joyner.
So
thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
And Madam Perry, share my info, and I got your info. If you're in the Atlanta area, you got a book going, I will definitely get your book and check you out. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I'll send you the info. Thanks so very much, sweetie. All right. Thank you for calling in. And so, as you know, we've been talking to Janine Joyner, soul medium, spiritual coach, and storyteller, whose sole mission, and that's S-O-U-L mission, is to guide others on how to follow the footprints left by their ancestors to uncover the spiritual inheritance tied to their pain, gifts, and destiny so they may heal and fulfill their holy assignments. Janine, it has been, Vince is sending me a thank you. That was awesomeness. Thank you, Vince. You're always pretty cool yourself. He really is. All right. Thank you so very much, Janine. I do wish you all the best success with the book. Thank you for using your gifts, your talents, and your pain and everything that has been given to you to help others.
Thank you for having me. This was wonderful, and I hope that you'll have me back and we can take more calls next time.
You've got my personal number. You know I'm going to have you back. So you can call me anytime. Oh, we've got it here on tape. You heard it right here. She will be back. Denise Joyner, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
I wish you the best of everything. And this is Madam Perry saying, be good to each other and be good to yourself. And don't forget the motto. And my little poem here, everybody's got to play.